It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m., and you are tuned into Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, October 29th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A sunken fishing boat in Sitka's harbor will remain where it is for the indefinite future while its owner develops a better plan to remove it. The 44-foot wooden troller Denny M. sunk outside Eliason Harbor earlier this year. A buoy marks its present location in the Sitka Channel. Chief Warrant Officer Michael Wortman heads up the Coast Guard's Marine Safety Detachment in Sitka. He says the owner's original plan to ground the Denny M. on Japonski Island did not win the Coast Guard's approval.
And they were going to basically drag the vessel underwater to a ramp. And since it was crossing the channel and we didn't have a good plan in place to coordinate efforts, and even knowing equipment or notifying the vessels transiting the area, we pretty much shut down the operation.
Wortman says the Denny M rests in 35 feet of water with 25 feet of clearance at low tide and is not a hazard to navigation. The boat's rigging is gone, there was no fuel on board at the time it sank, and most of the equipment had been removed. Now it's just a matter of getting it out of the way sometime.
It's undetermined at this point. Essentially, the owner can't move it until we get the plan and make sure things are in place that are proper. And we're working with Harbor Master and owner to make that happen, but there's no timeline right now for that to occur.
Wortman says the Denny M is part of a larger problem of derelict boats in Sitka waters. He says there will be a push later this year to address that issue. Across Alaska, Friday was the last day in a four-week period where student attendance translated into school funding. Public schools receive a major chunk of their funding from the state under what's known as the foundation formula. It's complex, but generally, the more students in attendance in October, the more state funding each school receives. This year, a typical student with perfect attendance between September 30th and Friday, October 25th, was worth $5,680 to his or her school. That's the figure that legislators and education officials call the base student allocation. Funding adjustments, including extra money for students with special needs, cost of living differences from district to district, and reductions for efficiencies at larger schools, introduce more complexity. Huge tables of data due to the state November 8th are being compiled to count every public school student in Alaska. A small reserve outside of Gustavus that's used by sandhill cranes is in the spotlight. For the past few years, government biologists and local stakeholders have been developing a management plan for the Dude Creek wetlands. But recently, that process took a radical turn, and the outcome could determine how all the state's protected habitat is managed. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports.
If you check out the latest version of the Dude Creek management plan, you'll notice a few things. First, it's covered in red edits. Second, it's about half the length of the original. And third, the phrase will not has turned into may allow. Hank Lentfer, a Gustavus resident who represented the Nature Conservancy on the planning team, wasn't very happy when he saw it.
It was totally out of the blue. It was just came an email saying, this is it. This is the new draft. Radically different from the ones that not only the planning team members had signed off on, but all the members of the community that had been given a formal opportunity to comment. All those comments had been very thoughtfully summarized and included in that plan. And that's all been gutted.
Entire sections on scientific research and local knowledge were stripped. Hard prohibitions on geological exploration or hazardous waste disposal were gone. The way the new version approached activity that could change the land was to permit it on a case-by-case basis and without public notice. Lentfer thinks the changes are odd because Dude Creek is not desirable land for development. The ground beneath it is made of clay, and it's hard to imagine any resource extraction or even building construction happening there. To find out the reason for the new plan, I talked to Randy Bates, director of Fish and Game's Habitat Division. He says that because technology and even the land itself can change, he wants to move away from hard restrictions that could block development decades from now.
The idea is, can we get to yes instead of can we justify no?
The changes made to the draft aren't just about Dude Creek. Of the 32 special areas that Habitat oversees, only about half of them have completed management plans. Dude Creek happened to be the one that Habitat staff was working on when Bates called for a new approach to their rules. And he says that, yes, some of this language is precedent-setting.
So the concept of these changes has really affected a very small focus plan, and it's really raised a stir. If we were to implement this on the Susitna Flat or the Readout Bay or Ketchumek Bay, it would have been the same sort of blow-up, but this is much ado about nothing in this plan in many ways. It affects these other plans probably to a much greater extent.
Part of why Lentfer and other Gustavus residents are troubled by this new approach is that it's coming at the same time the Parnell administration is making an aggressive push to reform permitting. One of the governor's big priorities is a bill that sets a higher bar for appealing a permitting decision and makes it easier for the state to issue general permits that don't need public notice. Bates says Habitat's new permitting strategy has nothing to do with that.
We're not changing the planning process to exclude the public and just notify them. We still have every intention to run the process the way it was, soliciting input, sitting down, understanding the concerns. We're not cutting anybody out of this process.
But internal documents obtained by APRN contradict that statement and show drastic changes ahead. As of this month, work on all new management plans, including Dude Creek, has been put on hold. Instead, Habitat has been directed to revise all completed management plans in the Dude Creek style. Rather than go through the old process, which involved public scoping meetings, collaborative interagency planning teams, and a series of comment periods, Habitat will put multiple plans into one big regulatory review packet that will go out for comment once a year. According to an email Bates sent to the division, staff cannot discuss the management changes with the public without getting his approval. Sources within the department characterize it as a gag order. And meeting notes show that staff is raising many of the same questions as the public members of the planning team. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
Juneau-based filmmaker and illustrator Pat Race wants to create a satirical news show documenting the 2014 Alaska legislature. And he hopes crowdsourcing will make it happen. Lisa Fu has this story.
You may know Pat Race from this.
We want you to help us buy back the state legislature.
Pat Race, Lou Logan, and Aaron Suring are the guys behind the Alaska Robotics label. In 2007, the trio created the online short Buy Back Alaska to satirize the Vico corruption scandal.
Based on recent ethical violations, our political scientists estimate that the cost of renting an Alaska state legislator for a session is about $250,000. Although some can be had for much less.
There's the 2007 Frank Murkowski tribute.
But I'm leaving on my jet plane. Don't think I'll give it back again.
And legislative update.
Good day. This is Pat Race reporting from Juneau, Alaska, where the legislature is in session and out to lunch.
Since 2004, Alaska Robotics has occasionally produced short satirical web videos. Now they want to create a web series during the 2014 legislative session called Alaska Robotics News.
We would follow the news, we'd follow what's going on in the Capitol building, and we would offer commentary and criticism and humor and create sort of a parody news show along the lines of like Weekend Update or The Daily Show, but more localized.
Ray says no one would be safe in the upcoming series.
I want to make fun of both sides of the aisle. I don't want to protect anyone and attack anyone.
Politically, Race considers himself middle of the road.
My dad is pretty conservative and my mom's pretty liberal, and I feel like I'm in the middle on a lot of issues. Though I think that George Bush probably pushed me more in the liberal direction most recently. But Obama's doing a pretty good job of pushing me back.
While he may not be able to say definitively what political box he's in, Race knows what he cares about. Personal freedom, everyone having a voice, and political satire. Race says it engages people, keeps them informed, and it can be powerful.
It's like the court jester who can say anything to the king and kind of get away with it. And so it's important to have political satire because you can hold this up as a reflection. And it's a little bit of a funhouse circus mirror reflection, but it is a reflection of our society. humor is a way to offer commentary on issues in kind of a safe environment.
Race says Alaska Robotics News is targeted to all Alaskans. There's already a fan base.
I get a lot of state workers and people that are in the Capitol building that aren't, for whatever reason, allowed to really have a political opinion or express it very well. And they really enjoy seeing our shorts because I think it gives them a chance to sort of decompress or blow off some steam or sort of laugh at the position that they're in.
Ray says it's important that politicians know how to laugh at themselves.
I thought Sarah Palin did a great job when she went on Saturday Night Live. I think that was like one of the things that really made her stand out as like a human being more than just a political candidate. And I'm not going to go down that road of what I think about Sarah Palin, but that was something that really impressed me.
During the last legislative session, Race had this legislator on his program.
Senator Bill Wilichowski. How are you tonight, Senator Wilichowski?
It's Wilichowski.
Gesundheit.
Race hopes Governor Sean Parnell will make an appearance on Alaska Robotics News this coming legislative season. If you want to see the 2014 Alaska legislature reflected in a funhouse mirror, you can find Alaska Robotics News on Kickstarter. The project is now live. The pledge levels mimic the political hierarchy. If you pledge $5 or more, you're an intern. $15 or more moves you up to page. Pledging at the $75 or $100 level makes you a representative or senator. $500 makes you a good old boy. Pledge $4,000 or more, and you're in the Corrupt Bastards Club. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW. Sitka, we're going to rejoin National Public Radio. I'll be back with you with a local interview all about Sitka Whale Fest coming up at 8:18, so please do stay tuned.